today on Life Talk.
I don't want you to be afraid. You have nothing to fear because God says, I am with you. You don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. That's the reason to not be afraid. It's all the reason we need to not be afraid because He is with us.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, solid biblical truth, and maybe even a laugh or two, well, that's exactly what Pastor Jeff wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated at times, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always check it out at our website, lifetalkradio.us. In fact, you can find all the programs right there waiting just for you, lifetalkradio.us. But right now, here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more about today's program on Life Talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of the Life Talk Radio broadcast. You know, last time we were together, I shared a message that I brought to my own congregation when the COVID-19 crisis struck America and we could no longer meet together in person. It was our first online-only sermon taken from Psalms 40, where King David gets real autobiographical and testifies how God brought him out of a deep pit of despair into a place of great victory. And this time I want to share with you the second message I brought on how to conquer fear in very fearful times. We're going to take our text from Isaiah 41, where God promises to strengthen, help, and uphold His people in dark days. I believe it's going to be a great encouragement to you. So let's get started with the message, Do Not Fear or Be Dismayed.
Well, I want to talk to you today about not being afraid. You know, the Bible says don't fear. I am told it says it 365 times, one time for every day of the year. We're not to be afraid. But I want to read out of Isaiah. Isaiah's message to the people of God who were in Babylonian captivity. And I want you to grab your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 41. Just go to the Psalms. If you don't know where it is, if you're maybe a new believer, go to the Psalms and take a right. And before long, you're going to hit Isaiah, 66 chapters, large prophetic book. And go to chapter 41 and verse 10, and I'm going to read three verses. And here's Isaiah bringing a word to God's people who were in captivity. He said, "Fear not, for I am with you." He said, "Don't be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. See, all your angry enemies lie confused and shattered. Anyone opposing you will die. You will look for them in vain, and they will all be gone." Now, these words, once again, were spoken to God's people, very discouraged. They were full of fear, full of uncertainty. They had no idea what the future held. They're in Babylonian captivity. They've lost their homeland. They've lost their identity. They've lost their freedom. They've lost everything. They're languishing in a great national crisis, knowing the whole time that, man, I brought this on myself. You know, that's the toughest thing when you're in a trial and you know you brought it on yourself. And yet, God is with us. And God speaks to His people there in the captivity, and He wants them to know that He has not forsaken them, that He is still with them, and His plan for them is still intact. I'm still with you. I'm upon you. I'm walking with you through this. This is not the end. You haven't lost your calling. You haven't lost your purpose. I'm with you. And the good news is that we find the very same promises God made to His people there in the Old Testament for us in the New Testament. When God said, "I don't want you to be afraid," He says that to us in the New Testament. When He said, "We're not to be dismayed," He says that to us in the New Testament. And what He tells them, "I'm going to strengthen you, I'm going to help you, and I'm going to uphold you." All those things He says in the New Testament. And that's an easy thing to remember. Let me give you a little acronym. Just say SHU, like you put a shoe on. Just say SHU. Now there's an acronym. Here's what it means. S, strengthen. H, help. U, uphold. SHU. So easy to remember. Whenever you're in a trial, just remember shoe. God promises to strengthen, help, and uphold. Shoe. He's going to help us. But he begins by saying to them, first of all, fear not. I don't want you to be afraid. I don't want you to be gripped by fear, even though you're in a foreign land, even though you're amongst a strange people in a strange language. I don't want you to be afraid. And he says that to us as well. I don't want you to be afraid. You have nothing to fear. Well, why do I have nothing to fear? I have nothing to fear because God says, I am with you. You don't have to be afraid because I'm with you. That's the reason to not be afraid. It's all the reason we need to not be afraid, because he is with us. Now listen to Paul the Apostle, who faced all kinds of adverse circumstances and persecution and dangers and life-threatening scenarios. Paul wrote, if God is for us, nobody can stand against us. And God is with us. Romans 8:31. Now listen to the promise of God through the Apostle Paul. He said, listen, if God's for us, there's nobody who can stand against us. And the fact is, God is with us. And no one and no thing can succeed against us if God is with us. Now, I want you to personalize it. I can say to myself, Jeff, God is with you. God is with Jeff. God is with you. Put your name in there and say, God is with, and then give your name. Because God's eye is on you. He's watching over you. He's protecting you. His angels are about you. You know, I've got a little dog, and I've talked about my little dog named Max many, many times. He's a little Yorkie, and he's my little canine friend. And I've noticed this about Max, that when there is a bad storm outside, last week we had thunder, we had lightning, we had all kinds of activity like that, and it was rough. And I noticed that when I was out of the room, little Max would tremble with fear. When the lightning flashed and the thunder rolled and it rattled the windows, my little Yorkie friend Max would tremble. But as soon as I came into the room, he stopped. Why? Because I was with him. Jesus has that effect on you and me. When the storms are rolling, thunder is sounding, lightning is flashing, and we begin to tremble, but then we realize Jesus is in the room with us. Jesus is with us. And as long as I know Jesus is with me, I'm not afraid. I stop trembling. I stop being afraid, because there's no reason to fear if Jesus is with us. And I want you to know that he said, don't be afraid, because I'm with you. I'm with you in your trial. I'm with you at the job. I'm with you at your home. I'm with you. God is with you and me, and he is with Turning Point, and he's with every Christian that names the name of Christ around the world. I love what Paul also said in Romans 8. He said, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Are you convinced of that? He said, death can't and life can't. The angels won't. And all the powers of hell itself cannot keep God's love away. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, or where we are, high above the sky, or in the deepest ocean, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God demonstrated by our Lord Jesus Christ when he died for us. When Jesus hung on that cross and died, God was saying to the whole world, I love you. I love you with a love you can't comprehend. Know that I love you, and because I love you, I'm with you. So fear not. Go ahead and say it in your living room, wherever you are. Say it out loud. Fear not. And then the second command God gave them was, don't be dismayed. Now, dismay is different from fear. The word dismayed is from a Hebrew word meaning to see or to look or to gaze upon or to look about as one does in a state of alarm or danger. When you're afraid, when every little noise makes you jump and you're always looking around at things, focusing on things that are negative and making you afraid. All the news stories, all the reports, all the alarm, all the things that the media are continuously telling us. You need to be afraid. You need to watch out for this, watch out for that, all these different things. So you're always dismayed means you're always looking around. You're totally distracted by fearful things. You know, I was a Cub Scout and I was a Boy Scout. And I remember so many times we would have campouts. And one of our favorite things was to ask the scoutmaster, tell us a ghost story. And that scoutmaster would begin to go into some ghost story about something, this, that, or the other. And the more he talked, the more afraid and nervous and uptight you got, until every little noise made you look off into the woods. Every little sound made you jump. And what it actually caused was fear along with dismay. Because if fear lingers for long, you go into dismay, where all you are is focused on the things that are making you afraid. And that would happen to us around the campfire. Every little twig that snapped, we're looking, jumping, shouting. And of course, that was kind of, it was fun, but it was also scary. But that's a picture of dismay. And he says, not only do I not want you to be afraid, I don't want you to be dismayed. I don't want you to be constantly looking at all the things around us, calling for our attention, that are negative and fear-inducing. He said, no, instead of looking around at the things you're afraid of, I want you to look up at Jesus. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, the 12 scouts or spies that went into the promised land and came back with a report. 10 of them, it was negative. 2 of them, it was positive. Joshua and Caleb said positive, faith-building things. But the 10 other spies said negative, faith-weakening things. And all they talked about was, we saw the giants. We saw the danger. We saw how big the giants are and how little we were in their sight. They were giants. We were grasshoppers. And notice how they were dismayed, while the other two had no fear and had no dismay because they were looking up at God. You know, it's powerful just to turn the eye of your faith onto Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow very strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. So today, I encourage you, and I'm encouraging me with you, don't look at the negative things. Don't be full of fear and don't be dismayed. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of a sound mind.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry. You can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Now, after he had given them these two commands, don't fear and don't be dismayed, he made 3 promises. And let me just quickly jump right through these promises because they are powerful. These are the promises of God. This is what God promised his people in captivity who were full of fear and regret and dismay. He said, first of all, I'm going to strengthen you. There's the first, S. The first part of SHU, S-H-U, S, I'm going to strengthen you. God said, I'm going to supernaturally empower you to bear up under all your fear. Just one chapter earlier, Isaiah wrote the famous words that most of you know about. If you've been a believer for very long at all, you know this. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now there's that word, strength. God said, I'm going to strengthen you. I promise you, I'm going to strengthen you. And they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, notice the word renew. Renew means you had it, and then you started to lose it, and then God brought it back to you again so that you're renewed. You're renewed. You're getting something back that you had begun to lose.
He said, you've begun to lose your strength. You've begun to lose your spiritual strength, but I'm going to renew it if you wait upon me. That's the key. Not dismayed looking around you, but looking at Jesus and waiting upon him. Now, that little phrase, wait upon the Lord, in the Hebrew language means to wait expectantly in faith. It's not just waiting, you know, kind of tapping your feet, waiting impatiently for God. You don't do that. What it's saying is, it means I'm waiting with expectation in faith that God is going to strengthen me. And something begins to happen spiritually when we wait expectantly upon the Lord to open that door, to see you through this trial. We're looking to the Lord and we're believing he's going to turn this. And he says, as you wait expectantly, it's like a kite string. But just imagine that I'm holding a kite string and I can easily take a kite string and I can snap it. It doesn't take much strength at all. Just snap it. But if I wrap that kite string around a steel cable, if I just wrap it around that steel cable from top to bottom, that kite string now cannot be broken by me because of what it's wrapped around. I've wrapped that kite string around a steel cable that I could never break. The idea here is, as we wait upon the Lord in faith, it's like we are wrapping ourselves around the steel cable called Jesus Christ. And as we are wrapped around, waiting upon the Lord, focused on him, we are as strong as he is. And that's how our strength is renewed, because his strength becomes our strength. His ability becomes ours. His energy becomes ours. His hope becomes our hope. We become as strong as what we are wrapped around. So say with me the words of Paul, that wherever you are, let's just say this together. I can do all things. Go ahead and just say it. Let's say it out loud. I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengthens me. Notice he was not doing the positive thinking kind of confession. But he was saying this. He was saying, as long as I'm looking to Jesus, then I can go through anything. I can do anything. I can endure anything. I can last through anything because his strength has become my strength. So I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a great promise. What a great promise. Make that promise your own, because you are only as strong as whatever it is you're connected to spiritually. Connect to Jesus. Connect to Jesus. The second promise, and it's the H. So there's strength in S. Then there's H, help. I will help you. I will help you. You know, when Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, he said he's a comforter. He said he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. But he also said he's a helper. He's a helper. God the Spirit is a helper. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So not only does God promise to strengthen us in the middle of a trial, but he also promises to help us through the trial, to help us. Jesus was saying to his disciples, look, I'm about to go back to heaven, but I'm not going to leave you alone in this. This isn't going to be something you've got to do on your own. I'm not going to leave you orphans. He said in another verse, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will help you in all your trials. I'm not only going to strengthen you, but I'm going to help you. And when you can't carry what you're carrying anymore, I'm going to step in, and I'm going to carry what you can't carry. I'm going to help you carry what you can't carry. You're going to get to your destination because he's going to help you get there. He's going to help you carry the financial load, help you carry the stress, help you carry yourself. He's going to help you. He says, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. It's a promise from God. So I want to leave you, before I go to the last thing God promised, I want to leave you with these two things. Let's don't forget them. Remember, S, strengthen. H, help. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. You're not in this alone. You're not facing it alone. God sent you a helper. And the last thing he says, and I will also uphold you. There's the you. So strengthen, S, help, H, uphold you. Shoo. I will uphold you. Now, uphold doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what that means. It means I'm going to hold you up. But remember now, these passages were spoken to Israel as they languished in Babylonian captivity. They didn't know when it was going to end. They didn't have prophetic insight. They just knew they were in captivity, and for all they knew, they were going to live and die there. It looked like an unending trial. It looked like a testing and a fiery trial that was maybe never going to end. Many of them had been born in Babylon by now, and for all they knew, they were going to die in Babylon. And so this word uphold has a unique meaning in the original language. It means I'm going to help you persevere to the end of this trial. I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to hold you up, and I'm going to help you to persevere. You're not going to give in. You're not going to cave in. You're not going to give up. You're not going to lose your fight. You're not going to drop out of the race. But I promise to uphold you, that you're going to reach to the end of this trial. You're going to come out on the other side of your trial. You're going to be purified. You're going to be improved. You're going to be stronger. You're going to come out on the other side, because I promise to uphold you. I'm going to hold you up so that you make it to the end. What an incredible, incredible promise. And then he says this. He says, you want to know how this is true and this is real? Because I am your God, and I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. What a powerful promise. He said, I'm going to hold you up, and here's how I'm going to do it. With not just my right hand, but my righteous right hand. What is God saying there? He's saying, my promises can be counted on because I'm righteous. Now, what he's doing is he's pointing to his character. And he's saying, why should you believe my promises? Because you believe in me. And what do you believe about me? Well, you believe and you know, based on the scriptures, that God is true to his word. He's loyal. He's faithful. He's loving. He's patient. He is not a man that he can lie. God is saying, my right hand is going to carry you through it because it's a righteous right hand. You see, folks, any promise is only as good as the one that made the promise. If somebody makes a promise to me, like they say, you know, if you do this, then I promise you I will do that. The first thing I think about is, what do I know about their character? Are they true people? That is their character good? Are they people of their word? Are they people who have kept their word in the past? Are they dependable? Are they faithful? Do they have a track record? I'm going to want to know that. And if I decide they are true to their word, dependable, good for their word, and they have a track record of that, then I'm going to put a lot of stock in that promise. But if I find out that they have broken promises in the past, hurt people in the past, have not been true to their word in the past, then I'm not going to put any confidence in any promise they make. But here's what we know about God. God's track record is perfect. He's not a man that he can lie. He says, I promise you, I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to help you. I'm going to uphold you. And the way that you can know that's going to happen is I'm going to uphold you by my right hand that is righteous. My character can be depended on. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to come through for you. I'm going to be true to my word. I will never fail you, never walk out on you, never leave you hanging. If everybody else walks out, I will walk in. But you are mine and I am yours, and I'm a God of covenant, and I'm not going to let you down. So therefore, you can put great stock in God's promise that he's going to strengthen you, help you, and uphold you in the midst of this trial. God will. He promises. His promises are good because his character is good and righteous and dependable and faithful. His character can be depended on. His promises can be stood upon, and his love can be counted on because he is a righteous God. Now I want to encourage you, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might.
Thanks for listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. To get a copy of today's message, give us a call at 877-884-3111. Or you can pick it up at our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's 877-884-3111 or the website, lifetalkradio.us. And while you're there at the website, you'll find today's message along with all the messages from Pastor Jeff on our Listen page. You can also sign up to get our e-devotionals, ministry updates, our exclusive Life Talk listener emails, and a whole lot more. We'll even send you a free gift just for signing up. And be sure to check out the resource page, as it's packed with so many things we know you'll be interested in. Again, the website is lifetalkradio.us, or call us at 877-884-3111. One last thing. Your partnership with this program through your generous giving is always needed and very appreciated. We know Life Talk is making a difference in your life, so this is how you can make a difference to ours. Please take a minute to send your best gift at the partner page on our website, lifetalkradio.us, or by calling 877-884-3111. Thanks so much for your heart of generosity. We truly appreciate it. Be sure to join us next time right here on Life Talk.